Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hi, and welcome to my podcast. I shouldn't say this, but my name is Katie Leeson and I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK. It feels like office debate has been happening since the day we walked out of the office over 365 days ago. Should we be working from home or should we be working in an office? Honestly, there are positives and negatives for both. And I'm sure yours have too. My feelings have fluctuated over the course of the past year. In this episode, I wanted to talk to you a little about some of the evidence, the factual pros and cons of working either from home or in an office, what we're going to do at Social Chain and why, and then we're going to be talking to Karen about the impact any changes might have on our mental health, how we best prepare for them, and also what to do if you're feeling anxious and overwhelmed right now. So first off, I'm going to jump in with the pros and cons of working in an office. Companies that are largely pro-office at the time of this podcast recording are Google, Amazon, Netflix, Goldman Sachs, Facebook, and Uber. Just a few weeks ago, both Google and Amazon made their stances clear on the role of the office. Staff at Google will need permission to work from home for more than 2 weeks a year, and Amazon plans to restore an office-centric culture. The co-chief executive of Netflix, Reed Hastings, told the Wall Street Journal last year that he doesn't see any positives in remote working environments. Not being together in person, particularly internationally, is a pure negative. Goldman Sachs has also largely rejected continuing the work from home policy. Facebook is planning to start its return to work in May after over a year of working remotely due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg announced remote work plans near the start of the pandemic that promised around half of its employees could work remotely in the next 5 to 10 years, but until then, in-person work, at least in a limited capacity, is in the company's immediate future. Uber is also hoping to get back to in-person work even sooner. The ride-sharing company reopened its San Francisco headquarters on March 29th with a limited 20% capacity. Prior to this reopening plan, Uber was letting its office employees work from home until mid-September 2021. For companies with a blanket approach, it's the rigidity of a decision to get everyone back and the need for permission to do what has for some worked so well in the last 12 months is a real problem for the future of working. People have benefited from working from home in certain ways, but obviously there are pros to being back in the office and that connectivity you've got. I think forcing the issue and pushing people back in will give them I think it'll create more anxiety, and I think it will also push them away from the company to companies that are offering the flexibility that they crave to take the benefits of what they found from working from home, the best bits, the way that they can carve their own lives out. So I think it's a very dangerous decision. And I think that companies really need to think about their staff needs rather than just a blanket approach personally. There are a few companies that are pro flexible working, which include Spotify and Twitter. Whereas Spotify has announced its transition to a permanent flexible working model with its work from anywhere policy, the new occupational strategy lets its 6,550 global employees choose how they want to work at the company. In an office, remotely, or at a co-working space that the company will pay a subscription for. Employees will be given more choice over the town, city, or country that they want to work from. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey is also for all for flexible working. He sent an email to his employees informing staff that they can work from home forever if they wish, the Washington Post reported. The firm made its announcement in May last year. According to the report, Twitter's shift to permanent remote working policy was a 2-year project, accelerated even further by the pandemic amid lockdowns. In 2018, Dorsey sent an email to his employees encouraging them to work from home after experiencing a lift in productivity by doing so himself. So it sounds like this change has already been a long time coming for Twitter. Dorsey's decision, in my mind, is being made on him experiencing increased productivity, and it's very narrow-minded. I could say that I want to work from home because I live on my own and I can really get on with it. If I've got people who are parents, I know that they can't wait to do that blended approach to being back in the office because they don't want the distractions of the kids while they're at home. And also, my biggest concern in the whole thing, this whole pandemic, is the younger generation, those who are just about to or have just started work, who may have moved into a city like I did when I was 21, moved into Manchester where the office is to enjoy the social life of work, only to work from a bed and not being able to build the network that you could have done in like 12 months ago. I know that I have benefited massively from having a network of people that I've worked with so closely and now call them lifelong friends. And my real concern is those people who now can't do that if offices close completely or offer remote working forever, is the opportunity for these people, the next generation of leaders, to really create their networks, learn how to manage, understand people, know what to look for when people are struggling. There's a lot that you miss out on if you're just working from home all the time. For me, I don't agree with either. I don't agree with complete home working and I don't agree with complete office working. It has to be led by the needs of your team. How do they want to work? How can you take the pressures off them around presenteeism? And also, what is the role of the office? I don't think that this has been the best experiment for flexible working because we have not been working from home. We have been working from home during a pandemic. Yes, it's forced the issue, but we're not working in normal circumstances. We've been fighting a battle, dealing with stress and not knowing when to switch off. But the office versus working from home is a battle between two extremes in which there's no middle ground. Exactly how the working environment debate has played out. Yet there is also a clear-cut third group in this debate which could ultimately prove the other two wrong. It's the case that neither the office nor the home is a better place to work. Contrary to the headlines that may lead us to believe, actually, it looks like the majority of people are hoping to adopt a blended approach going forward. On top of this, there are also likely to be adjustments to our understanding of the effectiveness of remote working. Changes in perceived productivity performance in 2020 were driven by several factors, and it's hard to unpick them all specifically. To what extent, for example, did productivity increase with employees acutely aware of the precarious job market? What extent did we just go into crisis mode and we went into overdrive and that drove our productivity? That's a topic I'm going to be discussing in a few weeks' time with a special guest, Dr. T, and I can't wait for you to hear it. As soon as he explained it to me, it blew my mind. So look out for that episode in a few weeks' time. Secondly, it's also worth noting that collaboration may have only remained strong because teams were already bonded from their times in the office. This bond may weaken as workforces change and employees have to cooperate over digital platforms with comparative strangers. And I think that might be a problem when new people are onboarded in the future. Because I've said it before, you cannot be created over a Zoom call. You can't build connections like you can when you're in the office. Having conversations about watching Drag Race, I worry about the future of business leaders. And I've mentioned before about the network that I've built. What has it meant for me having that network is that I could call on them when I needed them now. I've got friends who work in TikTok, absolutely amazing people who I've known for such a long time, who now when I need something, I can just ask a question. And how are you going to build those networks if all your interactions are scheduled? I think the working model is set to evolve. time and time again in years to come. I don't think we're there, and I think it's going to be a case of learning and developing. Whilst a hybrid approach will likely dominate in the medium term, it's going to be really interesting to assess in the months and years to come whether it's those firms that offer flexibility that will win out with customers and employees, or if it'll be those that adapt more traditional office-based approach. Of course, we need to decide what we mean by winning. Do we mean attracting talent, agility, productivity, innovation, or profitability? For me, defining that winning sense and what I'm going to try and continue to create at Social Chain is staff retention, client satisfaction, and the type of work that we're creating in terms of our creative output. We're doing some training at the moment, as I mentioned, about crisis, crash and comeback and how to build resilience at work. And it has been enlightening because it's given us a real clear understanding that we all have dealt with this very differently, and our responses to when people are in crisis, when people go into crash, and then when they're in comeback are all quite different. So understanding people's behaviour and knowing that they might be going through something has been really enlightening, and I think will build resilience in all of our leaders. The debate can also be separated further into the individual versus the company benefits of either working from a home or working from an office. So we all know the individual benefits of working from home. Flexibility. So if kids need picking up from school or a parcel is being delivered, for me, ASOS, the guy who delivers my ASOS parcels, is my new best mate. Home comforts, including living in tracksuit bottoms, never being more than 30 seconds away from the fridge, not having to commute, which means more time to do stuff we enjoy, which will have an overall uplift on mental health. I can get through my emails, I can read important documents, I can block time out to really focus on the future of Social Chain. And personally, I've exercised more, I've spent more time outside than I probably have in the last 15 years of working. And I've definitely spent less money on food, although that money has, as I said, gone on ASOS. Company benefits of working from home. So the talent can be hired from anywhere in the world, even if it's not a central office to go to. The number of roles advertised as remote working in the UK jumped to almost 78,000 in February, and that's a 233% increase on the same month in 2020. Employers are looking at paying way less in overheads for office space, for travel, for office perks, etc., etc. And as we all are very cautious of our impact on the environment, there is an overall reduction in pollution. The individual benefits of the office are really, really interesting. Something else that the pandemic has shown is that the office acts as a democratizer. It enables all staff to have the option of a comfortable, high-functioning working environment when this isn't always true for everyone's home setup. It offers connectivity, getting more out of the creative work when you're with your colleagues in real life. Being around people, being at home all the time on my own has been hard, so just seeing other people will be strange, but I have been a little bit concerned about developing a bit of social awkwardness, so I think that's something Karen might talk about later. And the excitement and the buzz when you're around people, seeing them thrive, but also being able to see when people are struggling. I have struggled with this in the last 12 months. Having the care as one of my driving values, I can't see who's working longer than they should, who's upset, who has something going on where they need my help. And for me, that's where I really want to get back into the office to do that. Company benefits of having an office are collaboration and creativity, having a space to thrive. There's nothing quite like this for creativity than having a bunch of creative, amazing minds in the same room. It's amazing for team morale and celebrating wins all together and creating that culture. New ideas, it's all about conversations that aren't about your job or aren't about what you're there for, booked in on a Zoom call, that can spark a new path, a new concept, or a new direction. And it's feeling like you're connected to the vision and the reason that the company exists. There is so much to think about when it comes to this debate, and I am feeling incredibly overwhelmed about the pressures of doing this in the right way. As a leader and as someone who's trying to drive a company forward, I need to get this right. But the priority for me is offering a way of working that is right for each individual, not just what I have found good, and what's also right for the future of Social Chain in terms of its growth plans and how we develop. Our initial thoughts about working models when we went into lockdown haven't, I think the thing that was really interesting was that we offered flexible working always, but I don't think we ever fully embraced it. No one ever watches whether you're at your desk. And I would do a day from home every couple of months, but I always had that thing in the back of my mind that I needed to be visible to everyone as managing director. And I think what I have now established in the last 12 months is the ability to be able to get a lot done from home and keep the wheels turning whilst also having a blend of being in front of people. There was never a time that I thought we might never be back in the office as Social Chain. The Social Chain office is special. The vibe, the feel, the people. So it never came into question that we would never get back to the office. Because the things that I've missed the most are the people, the dogs, and actually seeing the work. There's a real fear of mine of being so caught up in the actual operational side of the business that I actually don't see the output of the incredible work we do with some of our clients. So getting me back in, I can't wait to see the team, the dogs, the work. And Social Chain is obviously renowned for its office. Not having it, I think, in terms of morale, I don't think it wasn't not having the office that's impacted morale, as everyone around the world was in the same boat, but I know that people have missed it. And with having such a young staff base, being in the same room for 12 months in your flat hasn't been good at all, and it's really got to people. Also, not being connected to those who you aren't working with on a project, everything's got to be planned, scheduled, and you haven't had a chance to see people you're not directly working with within your teams. And I think that is going to be just wonderful to see everyone connecting again once we open. I haven't seen any positives of not having an office. I think we've managed to sort of survive really well, and I think we've done exceptional in circumstances that were so strange. But for me, I am such a massive advocate of having a space where we can bring people together and build that family feel back up. Obviously, I've enjoyed not commuting, but there are still times that I really want to be in the office. So the immediate future of work for Social Chain, say over the next 6 months, has all been based around a staff survey that we ran on what people wanted from how they want to work. And 85% of people wanted to have a blended way of working. So that's what we're going to do. The teams can work from anywhere. We've learned over the last 12 months that the business can do great work remotely. So enabling the connectivity that the office provides can only make us better. All I've asked the team is if they're working, they're available between the core hours of 10 till 4. And then they can work their remaining hours around it. So they do what's best for themselves and for Social Chain. As I say, I don't want to be commuting. I don't want anyone else to feel like they've got to be in on certain days or at home others. I want to treat people like I want to be treated and give them true flexibility. In terms of productivity in the last 12 months, I don't know. It's been such a funny year with more to deal with than work, but I expect productivity to drop when we're all back in the office for the first time. I know when I've been in the last few weeks, I'm so excited to see people, and I'm a bit of a pest. Like, I like to have a chat and I like to be a bit silly. So I know when everyone's back together after not being together for the last 12 months, we'll probably get very little done for a while. I really hope clients aren't listening to this when I say it. The model that we're going to work towards is that connectivity, focusing on how we can get the best output for the work that we're doing on any given day. So do you need to work from home? Do you need to work from the office? Do you need to be on a beach where you can just be answering your emails? If the answer is yes, and you can do that while still getting your work done and doing what's right for Social Chain, I am happy for you to do it. I'm now going to speak to Karen. I'm going to welcome the podcast therapist Karen back on, because I really want to talk to her about the mental health impact of working from home and ask her some questions about dealing with the feeling of it being a bit overwhelming right now and how to transition back into...
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The office. Welcome back, Karen. We're back with another episode.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
So I think this one is like a really meaty topic, given the last 12 months of what we've experienced. The topic of mental health and working from home and flexibility and all the buzzwords that we've heard in the last 12 months. What do you think, and what have you seen the overall impact has been on our mental health of working from home?
The last year, our working lives, they rapidly changed when we went into lockdown. So we do all have a mental health. So that drastic change is likely to have an impact on how we think, feel and behave. So whether we recognise it or not. And working from home, it's potentially been a very lonely experience, or an isolating experience for some, you know, due to the loss of interaction with colleagues, as well as, you know, social life, other than the many Zoom meetings that, you know, have often caused us fatigue, actually, as the only source of connection. But the problem is that working from home, it's great, it's flexible, but it leaves no clear distinction between, you know, the start and the end of the working day, and no structure for breaks. So obviously it's been great to save time on a commute and get more sleep. However, you know, losing a part of the day where we are switching from one mental state to another, and losing, you know, a separate physical working space means it's been harder to switch off. So that means that there's been a loss of boundaries between work and home, which is, you know, it's a difficult enough area anyway to create those boundaries to protect our mental health, avoid burnout. People might not have been taking adequate breaks, or working longer hours, perhaps, and always this sense of being switched on all the time. And it has been a challenge for some people to motivate themselves or concentrate properly. And it's not uncommon for, of course, pets or children and everyone in between to be featuring on our Zooms. And that has been, you know, it's provided some laughs. However, you know, working from home, it has been particularly difficult for people who have additional responsibilities, such as childcare and homeschooling, or those experiencing difficulties such as relationship struggles, as well as, you know, at worst, domestic abuse situations. So it's not uncommon to experience the impact of a stressful period once it's lifted, and therefore it's possible that we might now begin to realise how things have been as lockdown is easing. And with that reduced work-life balance, it's not uncommon for, you know, stress, anxiety, burnout, low mood and depression, and they could be common as human conditions.
So you think now that we're starting to get a bit of normality back, this is when we're going to realise the impact that the last 12 months has had on us?
It could be possible. And I don't know about you, but as things have lifted and, you know, interacting socially, even though it was outside, and do, you know, meeting outside for a drink or something with people, there was this sense of, it was almost like, well, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong here, and we're all a little bit, you know, tense or out of practice. So all a little bit socially awkward, to be honest with you. And it was really interesting that I noticed that, and I thought, well, yes, of course, because this past year has happened, and it's an understandable reason why. But yeah, so it's not to say that everybody will really struggle with this. However, at different degrees of struggle, or at least noticing an impact on the thoughts, feelings and behaviours.
It's really interesting. It's something that I've been thinking about as a leader, because mm-hmm. in myself right now, I know that I'm running on empty. I said to someone today, I was like, do as I say, not as I do, because I know full well that I am half, like I'm just like half yes. full. But and it made me think about all the other MD, CEO, senior leadership teams that, and I'm not saying that everyone else hasn't worked hard, but it's been incredibly tough trying to navigate a changing, constant changing legislation, constant changing rules, trying to keep businesses afloat, have the pressure of keeping people's roofs over their heads by keeping the money coming in. And I do wonder whether we're going to see a big fall in, I don't know how to describe it, but I'm just concerned about the level of like leadership moving forward and how we deal with that.
Yeah, that's completely an understandable sort of concern there, because essentially we have just been in a state of threat and numerous stresses over the past year, which means part of our, you know, body, it needs to be in a state of threat, a state of anxiety and stress, essentially, to anticipate what we need to be concerned about. However, if you're a leader in a position like yourself, you were just describing additional stresses and responsibilities and those, you know, responsibilities on behalf of others as well. So there could be, yes, burnout, understandably so. It's simply an outcome of a prolonged level of stress where the stress has tipped the balance and it's consistent for too long. And therefore, you know, being in that state for too long, it's not good for anybody.
Trying to figure out now how to take time off whilst also getting everyone back into the office, whilst creating an office that brings the culture back with everyone together. It's quite a lot, but this isn't my personal therapy session, so we're not going to go through all this.
Well, what you're identifying there is that, you know, something that a lot of people could relate to in terms of thinking too far ahead into the future, or perhaps recognizing that there are lots of things that you need to think about, and then what that leads to, then what that leads to, then what that leads to. So essentially, it's like an anxious thinking pattern. It's what do I need to be concerned with, but of course, trying to problem solve too far into the future. So it will feel overwhelming. So a technique for that is just to focus on, you know, the immediate now, what you can reasonably do in the now. So I'd say short to medium term. Of course, you'll have your long term goals, like you say, you know, you want to create that culture with that within work and within your employees. So, you know, but is that quite a lot to ask of yourself now when you're only just transitioning back into the office? So considering what's reasonably within your power, and breaking hours down, days down, weeks down into manageable steps, and focusing on one task at a time. You know, maybe you acknowledge there's lots of things to think about, but if you're struggling and it feels too much, just break it down even more and build your way up from there.
Yeah, let's everyone do that together. We'll all get together and look at our calendar and start breaking it down. And for those that are going back to the office, and we're opening up on a reduced level, but we're starting to open up from the 17th of May, what are the best ways to start the transition? How to transition our mindsets back into office mode from being home mode?
Yes, and it's just like office mode. If we could just switch ourselves on into that mode, like we were robots, it's like, yeah, right, back to that now. but it's so difficult, isn't it? And, you know, we've probably got a lot of mixed feelings about coming back to the office, and it'll definitely feel unusual. And, you know, maybe we'll feel some discomfort or anxiety in the short to medium term as we just adjust back to office mode, but it will just take some time to get into the swing of it. And, you know, lockdown happened very quickly and we had to transition very fast when we went from office to working from home. However, we can build our way up and we can prepare ourselves with this. So if you do have established self-care techniques, then practice these, and otherwise do check in with how you're feeling about going into the office, and consider what you might need to help you adjust. Do have patience for yourself and also for other people who might be struggling in the office. It has been a shared experience and everyone has been through their own journey with it, but could be useful to maybe reconnect with colleagues and have a chat about returning to work if that feels, you know, if it feels helpful towards the transition. Definitely approaching this gradually, and using, you could even use this as an opportunity to to create a new routine and a structure that works for you at work, because perhaps we, you know, previously may have struggled with boundaries, or we were working too much or not taking enough breaks, etc., which is very common in our society. So practicing self-compassion might mean that, you know, you avoid of overworking so much or diving straight into overtime straight away, but stick to a definite start and end of the day and include breaks in between. Yeah, something to consider is whether you've taken enough time off over this last year, because even though we've not been able to go anywhere, having a break is still important, but lots of people have neglected to take annual leave. Think that there's no point, so maybe driving more into work and maybe taking a break would be good in that situation. So do consider if you need any time off and book that off. But if you are struggling with mental health, do speak to your employer and discuss if they can make any reasonable adjustments to a phased approach to work, or how they could help. Many employers offer employee assistance programs or other forms of support. Or alternatively, if you're struggling to speak to work, speak to your GP and attend to your mental health in the same way as we would if our physical health was impaired. But the main thing is, plan for work-life balance into that routine. So including time to wind down each day, getting enough sleep, enough positive activities such as hobbies, connecting with those close to you, and starting slowly rather than making this routine too demanding to begin with.
Brilliant. I was listening to a podcast by Jay Shetty, and he said to start with those things. Start with the things that make you perform at your best level in your calendar, and then work your work around it. And I thought that was genius.
Yeah. That's a really great approach. Yeah. And often if we're pushing ourselves too much into work, we think, you know, we need to do that to do a good job. However, if we forget about ourselves too much, then we're definitely not working to our optimal level.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you so much, as always, Karen. Wonderful tips. And I just can't wait to see you in real life.
Yes. Wow, won't that be interesting and strange?
I know, it's going to be so good. But thank you so much, as always. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Yes, see you then.
I really hope this episode might have given you a little more clarity on the different approaches companies are taking as we enter another transition phase. I know I'll be thinking about culture, about connectivity, about work-life blend as we start to shift as a business. And it's been lovely to speak to Karen about what we can all do to stay on top of our mental health as we see this change. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of I Shouldn't Say This But. Please get sharing. Share this episode with any friends that you might think it might be helpful for, and give us a little rate on Apple Podcasts, because it really does help more people listen to the episodes. And I look forward to speaking with you all next week.